everybody, and welcome to this week's MPL show, the official radio show dedicated to all things Northern Premier League. And shortly, we're going to be catching up with James Hayes with a look back at last weekend's results in the Northern Premier League. And we've got a full fixture preview with Matt Carruthers, North East Non-League reporter. We're also going to be hearing from Buxton manager Gary Hayward and his counterpart at Ashton United, Michael Clegg. But before that, just a little brief mention to the fact that most of the show was recorded before the last 24 hours or so and the big breaking news with regards to the coronavirus. The Northern Premier League on Friday afternoon released a statement which confirmed that all games will go ahead this weekend. The situation, though, is changing pretty rapidly all the time. So this show this week, take with a pinch of salt, just enjoy it and accept that it is all pre-recorded. For all the latest news, make sure you follow the Northern Premier League on Twitter. That's at Northern Prem League, LGE. Or visit the website and on Facebook as well. But without further ado, it's now time to hand over to me and James, catching up on Wednesday with all the results from this past week in the Northern Premier League Premier Division. So hello everybody and welcome to this week's NPL show. The weekly show is back, everyone, dedicated to the Northern Premier League. And down the other end of the phone now, it's Mr. Northern Premier League himself, in brackets, from a social media perspective. I love that from last week. It's James Hayes. Hello, James. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing? Not up live from Manchester as well.
Oh, you're in Manchester too? Hello. Hello. I'm waving at you through the window. Hiya. Anyway, we're going to be previewing this weekend's big matches. And I've done this deliberately, everyone. Mark Carruthers will be joining us, non-league reporter from the North East, because there's a big game this weekend where the North East lock horns with Manchester. And we'll have a big discussion about that later in the show, as well as all the other fixtures this weekend, which are equally as important. Disclaimer there. But James, hello and welcome back to the show. And let's talk about Saturday's results then, and where we are now with this title race and promotion race. So on Saturday, it was Bamber Bridge 1, South Shields 2. South Shields there coming from 1-0 down to take all 3 points. A big, big result that, James, for South Shields.
Yeah, especially with a stumbling ground for the top sides at this moment. So Bamber Bridge took up a lot of points against, especially in the last couple of weeks, picked up a lot of points up against the top six. Nice 9-point gap there going into, obviously, the crucial game this weekend. I've been saying it for a couple of weeks, that's going to be a title decider. If South Shields go and win that, it could be game up.
And it is 9 points, like you say, because South Shields were victorious at Nantwich Town. So, you know, two big bumps in the road. You know, Bamber Bridge away, Nantwich Town away. Nantwich Town also, you could consider a title chasing side this season. But South Shields there winning on Tuesday night by 1-0. 9 points to lead now. It is 9 points, though, because FC United were victorious on Saturday away at Mickleover Sports by 4-0. A hat-trick there for Tunde Owolabe, well and truly now ending his little mini-goal drought he was having. So the top two, South Shields, 66 points after 32 games. FC United, 9 points back with a game in hand. And the two go head-to-head this weekend. And we'll be joined by Matt Carruthers shortly to discuss that fixture and all the others this weekend. Big weekend just gone as well for Warrington Town. After all the discussions about, oh, Warrington Town stumbling, draw specialists, all this chatter. The third, following a win away at Stalybridge Celtic. I mean, that's a turnaround right there. I mean, they were outside the playoffs just a couple of weeks ago. Now they're in third. If FC United get beat this weekend and Warrington win, they're in second. So, you know, that's quite a weekend just gone for Paul Carden and his side.
I think just a big week in general, especially with the late win on the Tuesday night against Matlock Town as well in the league. They've been leaving it late and late going into the games in the last couple of weeks, and it's starting to pay off a little bit. It's showing a bit of depth going in. I think they've brought a couple of players in ready for this little bit of a playoffs potential late title charge if results go their way at weekend. We know what Paul Carden can do. It's just a Warrington team that we've missed, but again, it's making them draws into wins, and we're starting to see that come through now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, on Tuesday, like you say, they were victorious over Matlock Town, a 3-2 win there. We should say we are recording this bit of the show on Wednesday, and the inevitables happened for Morpeth Town. They're playing on Thursday night as well, as are Basford United away at Mickleover Sports. So Basford could be in third position heading into the weekend. They do have a game in hand, we should say. I mentioned Morpeth there. Morpeth taking on Stalybridge Celtic on Thursday night. In the offing for them, they could be 1 point outside the playoffs heading into this weekend's matches. Morpeth were victorious on Tuesday night against Hyde United by 2-1. They also beat Witton Albion by 3-2 on Saturday. So Morpeth, as I was saying last week, they've got the games in hand. They can afford to drop a few points in these games in hand. At the moment, they're not dropping those points. They're winning, and they could be right outside the playoffs. They are already at time of recording. At time of recording, they're 8th, 4 points from the playoffs, with 4 games in hand over Nantwich Town and Basford.
Well, they're looking at the form they're going there. They've still got quite a capability. 7 unbeaten now. Really, they could be on a title charge the way they're going at this moment. Obviously, it's going to be very, very tough for them to get up there. But they've still got the games to play themselves.
Like we said, they are playing on Thursday night, and we'll know more when we do the fixture preview, which is, in fact, we won't, because that's been pre-recorded with Mark on Thursday night, so we still won't know. Good times.
You can just anyway. Do it last week.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, just visit the league website, they'll tell you. Anyway, let's talk about Basford United then. Basford United, as we said, playing on Thursday, so I'm not going to say anything which is going to be too preemptive. But on Saturday, they were beaten by Buxton at Basford United by 2-0. A fantastic result, that one, for Buxton. Sees them open up a 5-point gap between themselves and Grantham Town, as well as a 6-point gap between themselves and Matlock Town. Buxton have played some games more than Matlock Town and Atherton Coles and all that, but they've got the points on the board. And for more now on the mood at Silverlands, on Friday, I caught up with their manager. Here's Gary Haywood. Well, Gary, a big thank you for joining us. And, well, a big congratulations, firstly, for that phenomenal result last weekend at Basford United. That's superb, that. What do you think of the game itself?
It was a good game. Both sides play on 3G, so it suited us. Watch them quite a bit. So we did our own work on them, and basically we did the job, so it was nice.
And you've been doing the job quite a lot recently, in all fairness. You've been on a very good run with some cracking results in there. You know, the 1-0 draw against South Shields ain't too shabby. So you must be generally satisfied with the run you've been on recently.
To be honest, South Shields away, we went on the Friday night. We got prepared for it. You know, obviously, we were 1-0 up. A bit disappointed for their equaliser. We played against the wind, and it was a torrential wind. And then it died down a bit second half. It was a good open game second half, and was a bit disappointed really when we had a one-off chance where Reece King could have put Diego in, and I think we'd have stole it 2-1. But obviously it won, and we got a good point up there. Maybe a fair result in the end, but not many sides could South Shields and get a point, do they?
No, absolutely not. Well, the run you've been on has put you in 18th position, 6 points from that third relegation spot, but also 7 points from the automatic relegation spot. So, how's that side of things? Because you've been moving, ever since you came in, Gary, you've been moving away from the relegation spot. So, what's your target now? You only need a couple more wins, I'd suggest.
We take a game at a time. We did say 42 points. I think that'll keep us safe. But obviously, we take a game at a time. We set up for whoever we play, and we give it our best shot. We give everyone the utmost respect, and that's what you have to do. But at the end of the day, we go out there, we work hard, set the game plan up. And to be fair, we're working on 2 points a game now since we come in, and really turned it around. Because when we first come in, we struggled with players because obviously had one or two injuries, but we brought Tommy Elliott in and one or two others, and to be honest, we've got going now, so everyone knows the job, so we're quite pleased.
Now, obviously, I should say this to the listener now, that much of the show's recorded on a Wednesday and a Thursday. The interviews with managers are done on a Friday. So, obviously, you know, a lot's happened over the last 24 hours or so with football. But scheduled this weekend, and we believe it's going ahead, you're travelling to Warrington on Saturday. That's a tough game, that one, because you've been in good form, but Warrington have got themselves in a good position all of a sudden. So what's your take on this game this weekend?
Oh, mate, Warrington are a phenomenal side. You know, they just keep going and going and going, as they've seen in midweek against Matlock. But again, we'll go there. We'll set ourselves up. We won't be frightened of the opposition. We'll give it a best shot. And if a bit of luck and some hard work, you never know what the scoreline will be.
And how much are you itching to get over that line? I mean, you said 42 points, but how much are you itching to get over that line so you can shift attentions towards next season and that? Because it feels like, you know, you've come in, you've steadied the ship well and truly, and I don't think you're satisfied with a lower table finish for next season. I wouldn't have imagined.
No, obviously, me and Dave Hopkins, the chairman, has had a chat, and obviously. We're going to try and recruit good in the summer if we can, but obviously, like quite a lot of other teams, we've got an half decent budget. So let's hope we can try and push on, and you know, we'll be there or thereabouts. That's our aim. Obviously, everybody's trying the same. Obviously, Curtis at Gainsborough's done really well, and he'll want to do the same. And everyone's fighting for the same players. But obviously, we're coming out of the Central Division as well. I've got quite one eye on one or two lads down in that area, what I can pull on, which maybe some of the Northern Premier lads don't know. So it could work in our favour, or it could work against us. Only time will tell.
And generally, Gary, you're happy with how it's gone at Buxton thus far? Enjoying yourself at Silverlands?
Yeah, what a good, you know, to be fair, it's a great club. The people are lovely. You know, you can't fault them. There was a bit down and out until we got there. Obviously, we only had 11 points when we walked in the door and played five games more than everybody else. So I benchmarked it against Grantham, my mate's team at the time. And I thought, well, the quicker I can get past them, then the better I'll be. But everyone's got games in hand. But now they're all getting level with us, and we've turned it round. Like you say, 6 points in front of everybody, which is, to be fair, really good for us. But we'll keep going, and that's our aim, to keep it going and stay safe for the season.
Gary Haywood there, manager of Buxton, joining us here on the NPL show. We'll be returning to the lower half of the table in a second or two, but let's just finish off the playoff positions now. And Nantwich Town, a 2-2 draw with Radcliffe on Saturday. And as we were discussing earlier, James, they were beaten midweek by South Shields. So still in the playoff positions, Nantwich, but I think, is that the title race done for them, do you think? It's 14 points.
Title race, definitely. But yeah, Nantwich, it's not been the greatest of performances recently, and the fixtures aren't favourable. I mean, obviously,
to be fair to Nantwich, they've not been favourable full stop. You know, they've had to squeeze in a lot of competitive matches recently. And when it comes to that's the top five now: South Shields, FC United, Warrington, Basford, and Nantwich Town. Dropping out the playoffs, Lancaster City, they're on 52 points. They have played two games more than Basford and Nantwich Town. Lancaster City were beaten by Gainsborough Trinity on Saturday at the Giant Axe by 1-0. Nicky Walker there scoring on 8 minutes for the Lincolnshire side. So Gainsborough up to 11th now in the league table. At time of recording, we should say, Stalybridge Celtic are in 12th, and Stalybridge Celtic will be in action on Thursday evening, long after this show's been recorded. Right, let's talk about Whitby Town. Whitby Town sitting in 7th. Whitby Town were beaten on Saturday by Stafford Rangers by 2-1. And on Tuesday night, Whitby drew 1-1 with Grantham Town. So Whitby, 3 points outside the playoffs now with a game in hand. So all to play for Whitby. But for Stafford there with a fantastic result against Whitby. And when it comes to their follow-up, a 2-2 draw with Gainsborough Trinity. So there's life in Stafford just yet. The flicker might be returning. They're 6 points from Matlock Town at the moment, 7 from Grantham Town, and definite safety. James, we discussed last week, had the flicker been and gone at Stafford, but it looks like it's back this past week. 4 points ain't bad.
4 points after a streak of 4 straight defeats. So obviously they've got 2 games of having goalies to come up. Them 2 games have just become crucial for their season. If they can pick them up there, the rest of the teams around the playoffs start dropping points against each other for draws, as we've seen in the last week or two. They've got every chance of survival.
I'd just like to touch upon Ashton United. Ashton United 2, Scarborough Athletic 0. Scarborough now 5 points from the playoffs, and they've played a fair few games than everyone else. So it's not the best of results, that, for Scarborough, certainly, in their playoff hopes, but a great result for Ashton United. And Ashton United followed that up on Tuesday evening with a fantastic 3-1 victory over Mickleover Sports. So Ashton United are in 17th, but they've opened up a 7-point gap now between themselves and Matlock Town, and 8 points between themselves and Atherton Colls. So for more from the Tameside Club, on Friday, I caught up with their manager. Here's Michael Clegg. Well, Michael, a big thank you for joining us. And before we get to Saturday's match with Grantham, just congratulations. A 2-0 win over Scarborough Athletic on Saturday, a 3-1 win over Micklethwaite on Tuesday. It's been a pretty good week.
It has, yeah. I mean, we knew we needed at some point try and win back-to-back games. I think that's what everyone down there were hoping for. And we thought we were more than capable of that. But obviously, at this time of year, the league table can do strange things to players. And I think a few play within themselves and what have you. But we've managed to find a way to get better and to get some good performances in and put some points on the board. So we're all really pleased.
And speaking of league tables, if you look at the form guide for the last 10 matches, number one is Ashton United.
Yeah, a few people showing me that Tuesday was getting spoken about and what have you. And I didn't have a clue about that, to be honest, until I got shown it. But I think, you know, it was a really tough start. Like at our first four games, we had Basford away, FC United, South Shields and Stalybridge. Really tough start, regardless of where we were or how we come in. But I think like we steadied the ship after that. Our ideas come across. We'd had time to get the lads a bit fitter and what have you. And it started taking shape. But, I mean, so it should. There's some good footballers there.
I mean, if you listen to John McGrath, 42 points is the benchmark to secure safety. So you're not quite there yet, but two more wins and you'll get to 42 points. I mean, how difficult has it been, like you say, coming in there at the club? It's a difficult task to turn that ship around given the circumstances, but it looks like we're a few weeks left of the season that you've managed it. So how difficult or easy has that transition been for you and your coaching staff?
I think if you can give your players an environment where they enjoy it and you're always honest with them and you stick to your word and they can see if they do the things you ask, you get results. I think it's hard for them to not buy in. And that's the thing, you know, after games, if a lad doesn't play the next week, we'll have video evidence there for him and sit down with him and tell him why. And I think when I've found that you manage like that, it's very hard to kind of not get lads on board, because I think at this level, they all just want honesty for one and they all want to be playing football. So I think if you can't guarantee the lads football, let them know they can move on. If people are in your plans and you want to work with them and progress them and coach them and get them better, then they're happy. And it, obviously in football, a lot of lads know that if a team's winning, they are going to be on the bench and they're going to have to wait for their opportunity. So I think the basics and the principles of like me and my staff have always kind of been that. Where it was different at Coles to Ashton is we were very organised at Coles, and our results will show you that. And we did a lot of like motivating, but we did do a lot tactically. Where at Ashton, we've found you've got lads who've played a bit higher. We know they've got all the ability in the world. And it was just about getting the mindset right and refocusing them on, like, why are you here? What do you want to achieve? And digging into them and seeing what they wanted and giving them a bit of a say on how they thought things could be better. And so far, so good. But listen, I've been reluctant. I've been asked to do a couple of podcasts lately and a couple of interviews, and I've been pretty reluctant to do them just for the sake of, like, a few people have been coming with the kind of thing like, oh, now it's sorted and now you stay. But we're not, and the message from the staff to the players is we've just got to keep going, and we've just got to keep getting them wins and grinding them results out. And in the Ashton camp, nobody's safe and we're not safe, and we're just going to keep working as hard as we can.
Fair play then for coming on this show. I mean, I didn't know I had that much weight, but thank you for coming on. I was going to say, when it comes to, you know, when if or when you reach that threshold, you're a bit more comfortable, how much are you looking forward to that and focusing your attentions towards next season?
Well, I think first and foremost, I think once we kind of get to the magic number, what everyone's got in mind, we'll probably play with a lot less stress and probably play a bit more how I want to play. But at the moment, it's kind of we were going into games not wanting to lose rather than wanting to win, and we wanted to be hard to beat, and we want that to continue. But kind of what I threw down to the lads January the 1st is let's try and have some playoff form now. From now to the end of the season, I think we're on minus 17 January the 1st. We said if we can get to 56 points and a plus goal difference, that'll be playoff form, if not league winning form, like in years gone by. So why don't we all look to achieve that and then set some individual targets? And we are on for them targets at the moment, but there's still so much work to do. But right now, we are in a good place. But after tomorrow and Matlock on Tuesday night, we might be in a different place. So that's, I don't get carried away with it. I don't get too eyes off the eyes. I don't get too low off the lows. And we just keep doing what we're doing. But right now, it is a good place to be.
You're taking on Grantham Town. That's a huge game. And like you say, Tuesday night, Matlock away. And, you know, if you carry on the form, you're going to be home and hosed. But these are 6-pointers, aren't they? Well, it's 12-pointers, essentially, is what we're talking about here.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, every game's been big since I've walked in the football club and had a lot of pressure and a lot of spotlight on it. So these are no different. We are going into them full of confidence, but we know the other teams are dangerous. We're only focusing on Grantham right now, but we've had them watched twice and we've done bits and bats around them at training Thursday. So they'll be getting all the respect in the world from us, like every team do. And we'll be going out there trying to make it as difficult as we can for them. And I think they'll be coming knowing it's going to be in a tough game because we are the informed team. So I said to the lads at half-time when we were 1-0 down on Tuesday, we were rubbish. We were terrible. And I said, I can see bits of you what have gone on, obviously, before my regime, and I don't like it. So we can't go back to that, you know. So it's about kind of just keep moving forward, keep battering the doors what are there for us, and just keep doing what we're doing because we're all enjoying it. It's plain to see. The lads are enjoying it. I'm enjoying being there. Our staff are enjoying it. It's good, but in football, things can change quickly, and it's easy to smile when you're winning. You know, you sometimes find things out about people when you're losing, but as it stands, we're in a good place. We're really looking forward to 3 o'clock tomorrow. We do think we can get another 3 points, but no doubt Grantham will think they can, so we just need to treat them with respect and give it all that we've got.
Michael Clegg there, manager of Ashton United, joining us here on the NPL show. A big week just gone there, James, for Ashton United. An important week as well because Atherton Coles had a good week, didn't they? A 2-0 win over Grantham Town on Saturday. That sees Atherton Coles now move slightly closer to Matlock Town. It's 1 point, the difference between the two sides, and 2 points behind Grantham Town. So, James, what do you think, this lower half of the table? Do you reckon Ashton United and Buxton have done enough now to get themselves away from this?
Ashton United with the games in hand, maybe so. Their form just turned around dramatically in the second half of the season. Greg Hartley's on form at the moment. And Josh Wilson, 2 great goals on Saturday himself there against Scarborough. Buxton, I think they still need another result. They've still got games against them and could easily get dragged back in if Aberton and Matlock win their games in hand.
Yeah, well, this Saturday, I'm calling it now, James. Boom, banger, bang, Saturday. This Saturday coming up, everyone, you're on notice. South Shields hosting FC United. Stafford Rangers hosting Atherton Coles. Blimey. And Ashton United hosting Grantham Town. There's so many good fixtures. And to discuss those fixtures in a second, we'll be joined by North East non-league reporter, Mr. Mark Carruthers. But James, from the Northern Premier League, a big thank you for joining us. You have a lovely weekend and we'll speak to you next week.
Always, Ben. Thank you.
So a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. But it's now time to draw our eyes to the future. And with me now, hand in hand, to look at the future and go, that's the future. It's Mr. Mark Carruthers, North East non-league football reporter. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm all good. Just to say, during that interview there with James, which was pre-recorded on, I can't even remember when we recorded that. Was it Wednesday? On Wednesday. We were talking about the matches that were to come on Thursday night and that we wouldn't know the results as I talk to you, Matt, now. Good news is both matches have been postponed. So, happy times. How are Morpeth going to fit in all these matches, Matt?
I've no idea. They've got a bit of experience of it, though. When they were in the Northern League, they had a similar situation and had a pretty long run of games where they had to fit them in a short space of time. And they had the same, to be fair, when they won the FA Vars as well, they had to fit in a lot of fixtures at that point. So they have experience of it, but they've got a decent squad, and hopefully they'll come through it.
I mean, it's interesting because it's like what I said last week. They've got so many games in hand. They don't actually have to win all those games in hand now to get into the playoffs, because they've got that many. They just need a couple, don't they? And they're in the playoffs. So they've got to play them, though, I suppose. That's the only drawback at the moment for Morpeth. This weekend, Morpeth will be travelling to Stalybridge Celtic, and Morpeth are 4 points outside the playoffs, and they've got four games in hand. So that's where we are at the moment. I've just thrown a curveball at you, Mark. I know you said, I'm pretty sure, Mark said to me off air, I know where we're going to start. He had no idea we were going to start with Stalybridge and Morpeth. All right, I've delayed long enough. South Shields against FC United, Saturday afternoon, Mariners Park. Huge, isn't it?
I'd arguably say the biggest game of the season so far. Two sides in decent form. South Shields, interestingly, for a club that have had such good home form over the last 3 or 4 years, are coming into this one without a win the last five at Mariners Park. So it's a good time for them to turn that round. Two of the league's most informed strikers going head-to-head in Jason Gilchrist and Tunde Awolabi. So it's got all the makings of a real classic. I'll be honest, I think if South Shields can get a win, I think they're obviously not confirmed as champions, but I think it would go a long way to confirming that. If FC United can get something, get a win there, then it's everything's up for grabs, I think.
I mean, the midweek game, the win against Nantwich Town, how important is that for South Shields, do you feel? I mean, that a win on Tuesday night, a win against FC United on Saturday, are you of the train of thought that would be the title done and dusted at that point?
Near enough, and I think, to be fair, South Shields have come through a trio of very, very tricky away games, and they've come through them, you know, with maximum points. I mean, going to Gainsborough and win 4-1, going to Bamber Bridge winning 2-1, especially when they went behind, and then going to Nantwich Town in midweek, which is never an easy place to go. You know, they've got their own playoff aspirations, and to get a 1-0 win, to keep a clean sheet as well at Nantwich is no mean feat. What I would say is, I think, and I think we spoke about this last time I was on, about the amount of new players that have come into the South Shields squad. They brought in Barley Mumba from Sunderland last week, which was just an inspired piece of business. I mean, it's not so long ago that Barley was being discussed as being a key part of the Sunderland midfield and in League One. And you know, for South Shields to be able to get him on loan for the rest of the season is a massive boost. And maybe just that extra little bit of quality where people probably didn't think they needed a bit extra in midfield. They've got a very strong midfield, the likes of Robert Briggs, Phil Turnbull, people like that. But Barley's maybe just come in and boosted that little bit, and that could be the difference between getting them over the line. And I've got no doubt he will be key on Saturday.
Yes, big, big game this one. South Shields against FC United. And I hope everyone's noticed at home that I've given both sets of management the wide berth this week. Not talking to any of them. But it's a big game, that's for sure.
I'm very much looking forward to it.
I am too. Watching on, though, will be a trio of teams, a plethora of teams just below FC United. Firstly, Warrington Town are one of those teams, sitting in third place. They stay in third place after Thursday night's postponements. They're taking on Buxton. And, you know, we're talking about the struggles of Warrington, how they're getting loads of draws and that kind of thing. 13 to date at the moment in the league. But the third now, Mark, and the point we were making, myself and James, they'll look back at all those draws and go, those were good draws.
It's a strange one because sometimes when you're drawing that many games, you can think, well, at least we're hard to beat. But I think when you're a side like Warrington, someone who's come into the season with, you know, the disappointment of last season still lingering over them, they'll have wanted to make an impact. And you're right, I think at the end of the season, if they don't get promoted, they will look back at, and some of them are, that sounds really disrespectful, some silly draws, I would say, you know, where they're throwing points away at home against sides that they would hope to beat. It'll be frustrating, but they are still there or thereabouts. And, you know, this weekend could be pivotal for them. If they get the result that they need at Mariners Park, which I would argue is probably a draw, and then can get a win in their own game, then, you know, they'll think they can go on and really challenge for the rest of the season.
Tying with Warrington Town at the moment, with a game in hand, is fourth place Basford United. They're taking on Scarborough. They got beat by Ashton, didn't they? I think the Warrington result was a big one as well. Are you of the mind that they've played too many games now, Scarborough, and it's a tall ask from here?
I think it's a huge ask. I think you're probably looking at them having to win the vast majority of the games that they've got left. I think they've got 8 games left. If they can win 6 of them, they'll have a chance, but I'm not sure they will. And then look at teams around them. We mentioned Morpeth earlier, the games in hand that they've got. Whitby have got games in hand on them. So I think there'll be other teams that I think will get in there ahead of them, and I just can't see Scarborough getting enough points to get in that top 5. I think that'll start this weekend as well. I think they'll get beat.
Now, Nantwich Town are 3 points behind Basford United. Nantwich Town are travelling to Matlock Town on Saturday. And no disrespect to Matlock Town, but Dave Cutt's going to prefer that, isn't he? Compared to the fixtures he's just had. No disrespect to Matlock, but I'm sure Matlock Town fans know exactly what I mean. They've had it tough.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the big thing for Nantwich now is because they went into that game against South Shields thinking if we can get a win here, we can really start looking upwards instead of worrying what's over our shoulders in terms of Lancaster, Whitby, Morpeth. All of a sudden now, this game's huge for them. I would argue it's probably one of the biggest games of the season now. It is a banana skin, you know, Matlock aren't having the greatest season. And it's all about how Nantwich react to Tuesday night and how they react to the disappointment of losing narrowly to South Shields. So this one, I think, will say a lot about what will happen with Nantwich for the rest of the season. If they can get a win, then I firmly believe they'll go on and clinch one of those 4 playoff spots. If not, that just opens a door for the likes of Morpeth and Lancaster and Whitby.
Yes, Lancaster then have dropped out of the playoffs this past week. They're hosting Witton Albion. Witton Albion have dropped down the table, but that's mainly due to the fact they've not played that many games. The games they have played recently, they haven't won in 4. So it should be based on league positioning, it should be a Lancaster win, but Lancaster haven't won in 4 either.
Well, I know Witton impressed Morpeth last week and they gave Morpeth a real game. And as I said, this is a Morpeth team that are banging form. So I also think Witton are one of those sides, you never know what you're going to get from them. So this is a bit of a surreal one to sort of predict with Lancaster. Everything says it probably should be a Lancaster win, but I think it'll just depend who plays better on the day. And I do think that'll be Lancaster. If you're going to, you know, put me on the spot, I think they'll win narrowly, but I think they'll be given a real test by Witton.
Whitby Town, they had momentum, didn't they? They were getting there.
It's
our fault. I think it's the spotlight we put on them. 4 games without a win now for Whitby Town, and this weekend Whitby will be travelling to Manchester to take on Radcliffe. Radcliffe, I think we're right in saying they just need one more win and they'll clinch safety. So, but Whitby need to win, don't they? They've put themselves in such a good position.
They do, and it's funny, like we were saying earlier on about teams drawing games about Warrington, but Whitby, you say they haven't won their last 4, but they've drawn 3 of those. And that'll be another one where it'll be a sense of frustration for them. I just think that they've progressed so much this season that it'll be a disappointment if they don't at least take this playoff challenge until the end of the season. I look at the little changes that Chris Hardy's made, bringing in people like Paul Blackett. He's really... been a big bonus for them coming in on loan from Gateshead. Has been a regular goal scorer. Getting Callum Patton back is a big boost. I know he's out for the rest of the season now, which is a massive blow for them. And he's obviously had an operation to correct what issues he's got. But I still think there's enough quality in that Whitby squad to really challenge. You look at people like Bradley Fuster, he hasn't maybe played as much as he would have wanted recently through injury, but he's come back into the fold now, so he'll... You know, there's goals on that side, and Dale Hobson's gone out on loan as well to get some game time. When he comes back, he'll be massive. I really think that they could come back and have a right good go at the playoffs. But you look after Radcliffe, where they're going, then going to FC United and Manchester, then they're at home to Lancaster City. So there's some big games coming up for them, which means for me, Saturday is even bigger. I think they have to get a win. I'm not sure they will. I think it may be another draw, if I'm honest.
Okie dokie. Well, that's the top 9. And at this stage, Is that it for the playoffs, do you think, from Scarborough?
Yeah, I think I said that last time I was on, to be fair. And even then with Scarborough, you're kind of wondering what's going to happen with them because of the fact they've played more than everyone else. I would arguably say Morpeth upwards. So basically the top eight. Scarborough would need a lot of results to go in their favour, as would Hyde. So I think, yeah, probably top eight upwards.
Now let's talk about the bottom end of the table then. We mentioned Matlock Town's match against Nantwich Town. Repechage. Was it Repechage? I can't remember what they called it. Is that the thing with rowing? Repechage. I was in a pub in South Manchester and they used the word Repechage. Yeah, Repechage.
It's a practice in serious competitions that allows participants who fail to meet qualifying standards by a small margin to continue to the next round. A well-known example is a wild card system.
There you go. Repechage. So,
good call.
Matlock currently sitting in the repechage spot of 20th. I mean, we've been saying for months now what we're going to call it, and fair play to the MPL boys. They stepped up last week, repechage.
Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it.
Right, so let's talk about the team currently sitting bottom, Stafford Rangers. They've got a huge game. They're taking on the team currently sitting second bottom. Stafford Rangers, they had a flicker. That flicker went out, and then it's come back again. So, what do we think?
Well, the simple answer to that would be I have no idea. Because, again, a little bit like I said about Witten, but probably even more unpredictably, you just don't know what you're going to get from Stafford now. It did look as if they're going to, you know, produce something unlikely, but I'm just not sure where they stand. But obviously, this is a huge game when you look at that league table and you look and what they need to do. It's possibly just too big an ask now, I think. You know, they are, 7 points from safety or from the repechage position. I can't believe I used that. I wouldn't have put that out there in a million years. But, and you look at the game, the teams above them have got games in hand. So I think, unfortunately for Stafford, it's going to take a minor miracle for them to stay up now. You never know. This is football after all, but I just can't see it happening.
Ashton United have also got a big game. They're taking on Grantham Town. Grantham Town, currently City, 1 point above Repechage. And they play four games more than Matlock Town. So they need to... Matty McIntosh has gone in there now. They need to get themselves away from it. A win for Ashton United, and that's more or less it, isn't it? They've job done for Michael Clegg.
Yes, I think so, and I think fair play to Michael, because I think he's done a good job since he's went in there. We've seen a bit of a turnaround in the squad. Has a striker who's in good form in Josh Wilson. And I just think, yeah, one more win, what would that take them on to? 39, possibly take them up to 14th. I think they'll be fine. I think there's no such worries. What it should act as is a warning for National League North teams that get relegated this season, because it just shows when you come down from that level, it's never quite as easy as what you think it's going to be.
Let's talk about the two matches finally in mid-table land. Michelover Sports taking on Hyde United and Bamber Bridge taking on Gainsborough Trinity. Gainsborough 11th, 10 points from the playoffs.
Yeah, I think as I said earlier, it's 8th upwards for me, but you know, how well have Gainsborough done when you think of where they were pre-Christmas? They were having a bit of a nightmare at the time and looking over their shoulders. Now they're comfortably mid-table. You know, they'll be looking to get a top 10 finish, which I think would represent a good turnaround in fortunes for them.
Well, that's our look at all the matches for this weekend. Mark, obviously, you've got a lot on your plate at the moment. There's FA Trophy, FA Vars, all kinds of stuff. South Shields against FC. How's your weekend shaping up this weekend?
Well, it is largely surrounding South Shields against FC United of Manchester. I've been looking forward to that game for a good few months now. So expecting a big crowd at Mariners Park for that one. I think there's talk of about 2,500, 3,000, which would be incredible. But yeah, just doing the usual bits. I've got a couple of pieces in the non-league paper this week, which is previews of next weekend's FA Vars semi-final first legs with Heaven Town and Concert. And Friday night, I'm actually covering a Newcastle under-23s game as well. So a busy weekend, but always better to be busy than not.
And just before you go, Matt, just a quick plug for the book as well, because that's been selling like hotcakes.
It has. It's been going really well, surprisingly well, I would say. It's available on Amazon, Northern Goal, which is the history of the North East success in the FA Vars, which hopefully, from my point of view, will be continued this season. It's available for $11.99 via Amazon, and all of the profits go towards two charities. That's the If You Care Share Foundation, which is a suicide prevention charity in the North East, where I'm an ambassador, and the Motor Neuron Disease Association, because one of the subjects of the book is Mark Taylor, who won the FA Vars with Whitley Bay in 2009, and then just 6 months later was diagnosed with Motor Neuron Disease. So two charities benefiting from the sale of the book from the profits, and it's gone really well. So thanks to everyone who's bought it, if anyone that's listening has bought it.
There we go. And if you are listening and you haven't bought it, get yourself on Amazon or other book providers. That kind of thing. Matt, a big thank you for joining us. You have a lovely weekend, and I'll see you Saturday for the big.
Will do.
For the big one.
See you, sir. Drinks are on you.
And a big thank you to Mark Carruthers for joining us on this week's show. And don't forget, you can follow Mark on Twitter. That's at @MarkCarruthers_. Just a reminder that a lot of this show has been pre-recorded this week before Friday's events with regards to the coronavirus. Remember to keep an eye on the league website and on social media channels throughout Friday night and Saturday morning, just to make sure that the matches are taking place this weekend. But a big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. And remember, wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.